Blog Talk Radio.
This movement isn't about the 99% defeating or toppling the 1%. You know, the next chapter of that story, which is that the 99% create a new 1%. That's not what it's about. What we want to create is the more beautiful world our hearts tell us is possible, a sacred world, a world that works for everybody, a world that isn't about the 99% defeating or toppling the 1%. You know, the next chapter of that story, which is that the 99% create a new 1%. That's not what it's about. What we want to create is the more beautiful world our hearts tell us is possible, a sacred world, a world that works for everybody, a world that isn't about the 99% defeating or toppling the 1%. You know, the next chapter of that story, which is that the 99% create a new 1%. That's not what it's about. What we want to create is the more beautiful world our hearts tell us is possible, a sacred world, a world that works for everybody, a world that isn't about the 99% defeating or toppling the 1%. You know, the next chapter of that story, which is that the 99% create a new 1%. That's not what it's about. What we want to create is the more beautiful world our hearts tell us is possible, a sacred world, a world that works for everybody, a world that isn't about.
Okay, I apologize for the mix-up there, Jack.
Oh, okay, no problem.
I actually remember I opened the other page to put the link up in the room. Okay, so
well, that was an appropriate blurb.
It's a really beautiful piece. I'll play it. It's about the love revolution, the one love that Manny talks about a lot in the Occupy movement. And basically, I'll play it to get us off here this evening, but it's a really great piece. Sorry it screwed up there, but I opened the other browser. Remember to do the link.
Sure.
Anyway.
Well, hi, everybody. Everybody out there, welcome to Here Be Monsters.
Let me get my little spiel out and this stuff said. We got some stuff we've got to take note of today. Boy, it's been another week in 2011. You're listening to Here Be Monsters, and we're one of a drumline of small radio shows boycotting the lies of the MSM and providing the people with an alternative media choice. We're speaking truth to power. Without a decent microphone, with choppy copy and contributor dependent, but we're talking about a global revolution or a global evolution, the family of the Mother Earth. All of us are brothers and sisters in sustainability of our communities and our planet. We want what's best, and we're all working together. And you know, I'm going to say la-di-da, right, Jack?
You bet.
Here Be Monsters dedicates all broadcasts to the peacefully driven Occupy movement worldwide. We have to have these conversations. We got to keep the truth being spoken, being discussed. We have to keep the conversation going. And that's part of being in solidarity. Well, we're sponsored here by Roundtree7.com. That's Roundtree 7, number 7, and Daughters of Isis, a handmade company, and Saturday Afternoon Post with Jack Jodell. Jack, I got through it.
Great. Good job.
Okay.
The Saturday Afternoon Post commends you for that.
Yeah, well, I'm taking all commendables today.
These have been very heady days, haven't they? Been very active
and one
thing after another, and it's been very exciting.
Well, and on the other hand of it, on that point of light end of it that, you know, is in my back burner, people are finally in the spiritual community looking up and going, my God, the world is changing before our eyes. It's a very frightening change, but it's a change where what people are beginning to feel, and I'll bet you feel this too, when you turn on your television and you look at, say, Link Television, Democracy Now, or Russia Today, or anything like that, Al Jazeera, and you see the videos of, like all of us saw today, of the who they're calling the blue bra girl in Tahrir Square in Cairo being beaten to a pulp by military police. You begin to understand that it's not just a global consciousness. It is about being connected, because I feel that. And you know, I do and I don't, but you understand what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying.
Exactly. How can you not? You'd have to be a robot not to feel that. That's terrible, you know.
Well, and I feel directly connected to Cairo, you know.
Yeah.
They are part of Occupy.
Right.
We all are. And this kind of connectivity across the globe is something that, you know, my crowd in 1987 said, well, there's going to be this hellacious alignment. You know, it's like hair. We're in the age of Aquarius, la, la, la. And there is an incredible alignment. There's several of them happening since October this year, and they go through into the winter solstice of 2012, which so many people want to think of as apocalypse or Armageddon, and it's not. It's just about a new time zone. So it's incredible, because you know you really do. You talk to folks who are sharing this whole experience, and you basically get this feeling of camaraderie and connection. Like I said, with folks halfway across the world who are in the streets too, you know.
Well, it's been an unintended but very necessary and very good consequence of the Occupy movement, that so many people are starting to realize they share the same outlook, the same values, and the same experiences worldwide. It's absolutely phenomenal and unprecedented. It's great.
It really is. I said hello to the gentleman in the chat room. I'd like to take a moment and say hello to Diane G. From Wild Left, and our own P.E. Nolan, or Tricia. Thanks so much, guys, for stopping by.
Hi, everybody.
D17 was yesterday. There was an Occupy Action Day, and I know that our own Oso was with the indigenous people in his community in Oakland. They protested out in front of a developer's home who is developing a place called Rattlesnake Island, which is a particularly sacred spot to the Ohlone people. And they've brought that into part of the Occupy framework there in Oakland, which I think is fine and dandy myself. Of course, in New York, we had about 50 people arrested. Did you see that?
No, that I did not. As I mentioned before we started on the show today, my TV's been down for a few days, so I've been kind of out of the link here. But I'm glad to hear about this stuff, not the arrest and stuff, but I'm glad that people are still occupying, and unfortunately some of them are getting arrested.
There are actions going on all over the place. Yesterday's D17 was a global event, actually. There were lots of things going on everywhere in harmony with this. And my sister told me on Friday, that in China, for the first time ever, the People's Army could not contain a revolt in one of the regions.
Great.
That's going on there now. So things are definitely, like I said, changing. But yesterday's D-17 events were they were the anniversaries of three things that are particularly hinge pin or foundational to the Occupy movement, which is taking a moment to remember that yesterday, a year ago, a young man who was just seeking justice from his leadership resorted to self-immolation when no one would listen to him. And the outrage...
Well, that was in Tunisia.
Right, the outrage in Tunisia fell on its unmoved leadership, and it began the Arab Spring throughout North Africa. So we can never forget the name of Mohamed Bouazizi, and I think we need to open our hearts to his message again. You know,
absolutely.
This is what I think, because I've seen it at Occupy so often. I think Mr. Bouazizi's ultimate message is, if not me, then who? If not now, then when?
Mm-hmm.
So 3 months ago, two out of Vancouver, we had the Adbusters send it out, but people gathered and went into Occupy Wall Street at Zuccotti Park and renamed it Liberty Plaza.
Right.
And the message has become global. And it also gave birth to a new kind of journalism, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank goodness, because the old journalism is not doing the job, that's for sure.
No, and where there are any kind of journalists, they're being, like in Cairo today, and yesterday, several journalists were beaten, their equipment, their technology was trashed, and it's going on in New York, too.
Yeah.
They're trashing.
Well, you can't hide the truth. You know, you can try, but you cannot hide the truth, and it's going to come back to haunt those people that did that. Guaranteed.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I'm going to post our call-in number in the...
chat room.
In the chat room, because I invite anybody to call in and give us an update
or an opinion or anything.
Yeah, join the conversation, because this is our last show. We have Christmas, but it's the last show of the year. Actually, our next show is on New Year's Day. Jack, you going to be
New
up
Year's
for
Day?
It?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm ready for it. I'm very happy to see this year end, but I'm very happy that this year occurred the way it did with all the activity that has occurred since really January of last year. I mean, of 2011, with the Arab Spring and all that stuff. I mean, it's just been an incredible year to remember. It really has.
Well, and we're going. There's no give in the bit. The reins are pulled tight on this one, and it's open speed out there. I don't know why I got the equestrian going on. I think I was reading about bow-legged men today somewhere, probably Diane. And basically, it's moving forward at quite a rapid speed, and it's strange. You just sit back for a week, and events are occurring. You really have to start. I have a pad that I try to keep by the desk, and I write down exactly
kind of
what,
a timeline,
what,
huh?
Yeah, all of these little events and bigger events, What they call a true flower child passed over, the playwright and revolutionary, I think it's Vaclav Havel.
Yeah.
You remember the Czechoslovakian?
Yeah.
He had the quote that truth and love must prevail over lies and hatred. He was instrumental of fomenting during the Prague Spring of 68. Boy, there goes back. Quite a bit. That's 40
I remember
years.
That well, though. I remember that very well. I was quite a bit younger, but I was just horrified when the Soviet tanks rolled in and quashed freedom. But again, it didn't last forever. The Soviets gained 20 years from that, and then they were toppled. So I mean,
yeah,
you can't keep this stuff bottled up forever. It's gonna win.
His dissonance. He did a lot of dissonant plays that really. And in 89, the Velvet Revolution played that huge part in shutting down the Cold War. The Berlin Wall came down, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You could say that a specter of dissent. That was one of his. He played on the Communist Manifesto, making a different statement.
Mm-hmm.
And millions worldwide now are banded together today in this movement
mm-hmm.
in dissent against authority. I mean,
exactly.
Go with grace, man. Go with grace, because a better angel is looking over occupiers everywhere now.
Oh,
really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we went from, you know, it's very interesting because just in our lifetime, we've gone from one totalitarian regime, which was the Soviet Union, that tried to control all thought and all activity and all that stuff. And we glided into the capitalist excess, I like to call it, because capitalism was victorious, but it was also, it never really realized the promise that it claimed to hold for everybody, where everybody had equal opportunity and could make a lot of money and live well and all that stuff. It became gobbled up by a greedy 1%, and that's where we're in today. And this current situation is going to fall, I predict, just like the communist system fell, and it'll have its day. I mean, it's death throes, I really think, because there's so many people out in the streets right now, and they're going to change things, period. That's all there is to it. And what form it's going to take, we don't know, but it will be better. It always is.
And that's part of it. The piece I was trying to play on introduction that I have to actually play us out on, describing this movement as like Manny Jalowski, Reverend Manny, always says, you know, one love. He's of that mindset of it, and one of the wonderful things about the Occupy movement. It is essentially without the cult of personality, though the cult
right.
of personality does sort of wiggle in and out of it in order to organize and to get things going and to create general assembly and organization, but it never survives as a one-person or even a one-table.
Right.
Of leadership.
Yeah, there's no figurehead, there's no president, there's no chief organizer. It's
amazing,
true,
phenomenon.
True democracy.
Yeah, it's an amazing consensus. It's an amazing phenomenon. And yet this week also there was a panel who set up in Oakland, which Oso and his daughter attended with. My pal Starhawk was on the panel, and they were talking about diversity of tactics, which is
mm-hmm.
generally usually a way of saying that we're going to get a little bit more uppity and mm-hmm. rebellious and use some, eye for an eye or rock to rock, a little bit of violence coming aboard.
Not good.
Defend yourself against the brutality of the police.
Well, defense is one thing, but offense is a whole different matter. And if you're going to take an offensive attack and you're going to attack the police, that is not a smart move. You just have to roll with the flow, just like Martin Luther King did, you know?
Well, I think this is going beyond Martin Luther King, and I think it's going beyond, if you will, grabbing a name out of my back pocket that I usually carry there, by the way. Say Che Guevara, the guerrilla warfare.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, there have been times and places where this has been but something phenomenal is happening here.
Right, exactly.
Movement has got something else going on. And I do my best to be, you know, not so much pacifist, but peaceful.
Mm,
and
right.
That's my intention with the whole thing. But it's pretty hard when you take a look at the video today online of they're calling her the girl in the blue bra in Tahrir Square who gets kicked to crap.
That's
in front of the cameras over and over again. I mean, we're talking, Jack, we're talking about probably 8 to 9 to 12 different military cops going at her, taking a turn. And
unnecessary
right,
savagery is all it is. It's crazy.
It's
completely
horrifying.
Unnecessary. What could she have possibly done to be that dangerous to deserve that kind of treatment from anybody? It's just outrageous.
And what it does, though, is it's like I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, if I were there, I would attack the police to get them off of her,
off of
to
her,
protect
yeah.
her.
So, well, that would be, you know, what I'm talking about, self-defense or, you know, rising up to just defend what you have to defend, you know, not being on the offensive. But, you know, that would be a defensive action, I'd say.
There you go. We do have a caller. Hello.
Great.
Hey, it's Diane. How are you?
Hi, Diane.
Well, the most perfect call-in guest today. We're talking about diversity of tactics, a subject I'm sure you can give us some more info on. Yes?
Well, you know, I want to – hi, Gwen. Hi, Jack. Good to talk to you.
Yeah,
I want to go back to Jack's point when he was talking about the totalitarian regime of the USSR.
Right.
You want to take a – little maybe bunny step back from that, because really what we knew and what we know of that, both from historians and from Western historians, is that, yes, first of all, it wasn't purely a communist or socialist, you know, model, but
mm-hmm.
secondly, nothing happens in a vacuum.
Right.
And By painting it that way, you paint it bad, you paint it evil, you paint it like, oh, the big bad Russia, and I hate to see that happen. Russia
mm-hmm.
was very imperfect to my model of socialism and communism.
Oh,
but
exactly.
Like what's happening today in Venezuela, where we just dumped $300 million into that country
to
journalists, to university people and to back money in the CIA to try and get other people elected.
Mm-hmm.
When you are working against this universe,
mm-hmm.
this pan capitalism, there gets to be a point where it's not exactly press repression or people repression, it's
mm-hmm.
self defense. So I just kind of, that kind of like stuck in my craw a little bit, because it's repeating the meme that has made people knee-jerk of fear socialism and communism.
Mm-hmm.
And golly, if I thought everybody was, you know, COINTELPRO, like they were in the 60s, and are, as you're talking about, tactics, and we'll get into that further,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to speak beyond that until we get to there, but there gets to be a point where ends means it gets sticky. If you're the sole voice,
well,
like,
who was it? Chairman Mao said that revolution isn't a dinner party.
And gives it the pearls.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the world says, "Fuck you, we want the rich to be rich." Where do you draw the line?
Well,
yeah.
The other thing too is about the here and now. There are a lot of people who are using that old, this very same old, worn out, inaccurate way of looking at countries and people
mm-hmm.
when basically all of that has changed with global consciousness, with the internet. I mean, I have friends in Iran that I talk to online. I have friends in Pakistan. I don't have any Russian friends, but my point being here, it's like there were over 100,000 Israelis in the street in alignment with Occupy
mm-hmm.
saying no to the Knesset, and yet we're not hearing so loudly about that, and you're hearing a lot of even people on our side of the fence that are sounding too much like, you know, Israel sucks, Israel's bad, you know, I'm not going to get real nasty about it. But I'm definitely in this instance in regard, I am pro-Palestinian. It's
right.
The Knesset. It is the leadership that is wrong. It is that the people are a whole different matter. And I
exactly,
don't know
that. And that's
well,
always
I
the case.
I want to speak to that because I've been a victim of this.
Right.
I have.
Okay.
I got run off of my left wing, basically from a gentleman named Karmafish, who ended up talking to the point where I took legal action. And some of you from your blog know that, you know, I've cited this.
Yeah.
And what had happened is he was very staunchly pro-Israeli, Israel right or wrong, and tried to paint me as an anti-Semite and cherry-pick my... And the fact of the matter is what one's just said is exactly true. It is easier for the people in Israel, the Israelis themselves, to protest and make leftist statements about their government than it is to do it here, because here, I mean, they'll cream your ass.
Well, yeah, you've got the Jewish lobby that is very potent and very powerful and very vocal force, and it does not tolerate any criticism of Israel whatsoever.
But I have no problem with Israelis. I have a problem with their right-wing dickhead fuckards running the country like I did.
I agree. I agree. And, you know, if you look at the history of Israel, they've had for a long time a reason to be nervous and a reason to be defensive and all those sorts of things, but that doesn't equate to turning on and occupying settlements illegally in Palestine. You know, you got to draw a line somewhere. You know,
that's quite true. And in the same regard is too. I have come to a place within our country. I mean, 6 or 7 months ago, I would have said that there were people in the Democratic Party more so than, you know, more than less that are, you know, folks I had helped elect for good reasons. I no longer attribute that kind of ignorance to myself, okay? The Democrats are just as bad as the Republicans in more cases than not anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know about the local, but the national.
There's a lot of bad ones out there, and a lot of them are corporate apologists, and they suck up to corporations because they need the money to keep the myth going, you know, the mythology of and the continuity in Congress going, and that's real tragic. That's one of the tragedies of our time, that the Democratic Party has been lost by and large, not completely, but by and large has been lost to the forces of reaction, really. You know, all these Dinos and all that stuff, those people, they're not Democrats in the least, not traditional
not
Democrats.
Not only that, the point I made earlier today on Journey with Roundtree 7 on your website, actually it's your Facebook page, not your website, and there's both to our listeners, and they're both lovely places. But the point I made is, the point was made about Obama, but it holds true for all the Democrats. If, in fact, you make a vote for a Democrat, most of the time you're making a vote for the same corporate sponsors and the same donors that you are for the people on the right. You're voting
exactly
for the same people.
Yep.
I agree.
Yeah. It's really a tragedy. It's just terrible. And, you know, it's not something that we have to put up with. We can change it. You know, and you know, the history of third political parties, third parties in this country is very, very bleak. But you can co-opt one or the other party and turn it around. It's a lot of work and a lot of struggle and a lot of headache. But if you do it correctly, you will succeed. And as a matter of fact, my current post over at the Saturday Afternoon Post is dealing with that exact subject, because I recently discovered, I can't remember if it was Link TV or where it was, but the existence of a third political party which is trying to make it as a third party, and I'm recommending that they don't do that and do other things. But you can read it in my post if you want and comment there if
you
like, too.
But I said I'll argue with you.
What's that?
Because I said I'd love to read it, but I bet I'll argue with you.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I have to tell you, I don't know where this is all going with Occupy, but I'm keeping my eye and my fealty, if you will, my loyalty with it and standing by it in solidarity.
Yeah.
Because, and this, there is no good pragmatic, intellectually sound reason for doing this. I'm going with my gut instincts because this is not the same as any other movement we've ever seen before. This one is connective, and people keep localizing it, and I wish folks would actually begin to expand their idea of what Occupy actually is. When you think Occupy, you think Oakland, Portland, New York, Louisiana,
everywhere.
Portland,
everywhere.
Or wherever, Miami, and it's really about New York, Cairo, London, Madrid, it's Beijing,
everywhere.
China. I mean, if we can hold on to that, understand that there's much more going on. I really do. Of course, you know, really, I suppose I have to cop to my cosmic Pollyanna side here. I am trusting it, though. I think that something else is going on, and supporting the movement as it's organically evolving is something that that's my idea of where to go. I'm interested, Diane, because I haven't heard you speak in a while. I've been covered up. I didn't hear the last show, but I'm wondering where you're standing lately with Occupy.
Well, you know, my position is this. For one, I'm 1,000% support it. Right now it's in a holding pattern. It's a wait-and-see pattern. There's a couple aspects working against it, most of which being the weather and in the tactics. And I think that what is going to happen, this is my prediction, there's going to be a lull. There's going to be a winter lull. And it's going to come back in a vengeance with spring, because not just because of the weather, but because the politics are going to, and the economy are going to do worse by then.
Mm-hmm.
I think that globally, this is in fact a global movement, not a local movement. And it kind of amuses me of little 2012 predictions of world change. It's like, oh yeah. Empires always fall. Hello?
Yeah.
This one is.
Mm-hmm.
I do, I shared a cautionary tale this week, fiction, of what the people out there, I don't know if you read it or not, of what could possibly happen with the new legislation, with the new XE, with
the
calls for the specialists. Janelle pointed out, for basically, they're calling for assassins to come join the Homeland Security team. I don't think that people understand. That's part of the reason I'm trying to bring a lot of the old radicals to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people need to be aware the lengths to which the elites will protect what they have.
Right.
I think peace is the best way, but it will never work with them because they have the guns and they will go to any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an anecdote. Edward D'Angelo, one of our own from Links for the Wildly Left, shared with us the fact that, and this was in the 80s, I think, if I recall correctly, they were demonstrating against something and the cops came running at them and they all dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran up the stairs and got thrown off for no apparent reason. He was trying to run away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Got thrown off the second story balcony of the Ponce train.
Yeah.
And then when he was on the ground, was beaten severely.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually got a settlement for this.
Right.
Not a substantial settlement, but he got a settlement for this.
Huh.
Part of the reason being, Channel 2, our local news, was there to record it.
Mm-hmm.
However, when his lawyer went to get the tape had then disappeared. They have the power to do these things.
Yeah.
Even if it's on tape. Well, right now there's 1,000 people with tape, not just Channel 2 news. This is
yeah,
the 80s.
Right.
However, now that there is no longer... See, at that point, it was illegal to do what they did. Torture, treat as enemy combatants, detain indefinitely. They have taken it a step further with this new legislation from... Yeah, we've always done this, but at one point it was illegal, too. Now it's legal, and we can do whatever you want. Thank you very much. I think
that
people
is,
need to wake up. They're not going to roll over lightly.
Uh-huh.
It is. There is a fright on the table, as they say. Pinko, your mic is open. You can talk anytime.
Oh, hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Pinko, good.
Nice to hear you.
There.
I'm just cruising Facebook, watching the Lions on mute, and making dinner.
That's what I'm doing.
So
the Lions on mute, and I'm making dinner, too.
It's a regular Sunday.
Well, yeah. I got my exercise today. I picked up dog poops and took out the trash, so I'm resting listening to the show.
All right.
Well, I tell you, when I saw earlier this afternoon, in the late afternoon, when I saw the film, the video from Russia Today on, they had a very clear, there was no sound, but a very clear video of what was going on with what they're calling the girl in the blue bra in Cairo.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was outraged. I was,
oh, yeah.
It was terrible, and it made me think of what Oso has been, what he has been posting and saying about warrior women of Oakland and the indigenous peoples from the Oakland to Occupy. And I'll tell you what, you take a good look at that lady in the streets, all of those women in the streets of Cairo, and it's a new day. It's really, mm-hmm. It's a new dawn for the goddess. I'm going to say that because
yeah.
Well,
this is a movement that it's about and for and composed of real people. People who are being oppressed and who are rising up in peaceful protest against it. And where it's going to go, nobody can say. And how it's going to be influenced or changed or radicalized or left alone or whatever, we don't know at this point. We can only hope
that
it'll turn out well, and we are trying to guide it along as best we can.
And
well,
in guiding that, I think it's important. I think it's be real brief, Gwen. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a hog.
Go ahead.
In very brief, it's really important that we get this message out to the 99%ers.
Right.
That it's imperative that, okay, as Lord Churchill said to me, the 99% ain't all the same. Just like the rich protesters that were sick of their parents in the 60s weren't the same as the street people.
Mm-hmm.
Until we give a shit about the most marginalized of our society.
Right.
And bring them up to our level and then bring us all up together,
mm-hmm.
we will never succeed.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're not, the fact I read today that Al said, they were out there cussing them for having this emotional ceremony about their sacred ground and not supporting that Native community. The
mm-hmm.
fact that I've read from Black Agenda Report that the blacks are being marginalized. You know what? Until we Americans keep drilling in the point, 99% means, I'm sorry, I don't have a better say than you. I need to shut up and listen. We're not gonna win. We need a mental awakening, not just
that's
global.
That's a very
awakening.
Good point, and one way to do that is we got to have our hands outstretched to everybody, and that's the only way around it. That there's no I'm better than you kind of thing. I'm in charge of this, and you go do whatever you want to do. We can't do that way.
No,
right?
It should have been 10,000 white people behind hell.
Yeah.
Going right on. I would have been.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there it strikes me as crazy that there wasn't. I don't understand that, because here in South Florida, where there's a lot of mixed up crazy people doing the walk between politics and shamanism and yada, 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 we are the land of the transient here. I will tell you this. I've been to that kind of gather before, and people do, they support especially indigenous communities and outsiders, if you will. Miami has a huge amount of people of color, as it say, you know. I'm thinking what Diane is actually addressing is one of the consistent things you'll hear about Occupy. It's that marginalizing factor, if you will, that there's not enough attention paid to the complete community. Is that correct, Diane?
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope, and I can't say this with any degree of authority, but I mean, I hope that people's perceptions are going to grow and change to become more accepting. And I think realistically, they probably will. I think, you know, let's take a look at this thing. This is only a few months old in this country, and it takes a long time to build coalitions like this and to build, you know, build bridges to from one community to another. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens as a result of shared experiences and you know, people willing to outreach.
It does seem that aspect of this kind of a movement is being defied. It has its own organic nature. It's not really running. Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, Pinko, you and Diane both are larger students of dissonant movements and that you know, that side of the statistics, if you will. I haven't ever seen this kind of an uprising. I'm not aware historically anything like this, and the speed, and also I know it's the technology that's driving it,
right?
But it's not just the technology. There is a kind of tacit cooperation because of the need and because of the injustice, yes. But it also that question that I was just bringing around about the people of color and the marginalization that Diane addressed. It is moving very quickly. Everything is moving very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And I don't think, you know, I think when you look back to the 60s movement, the peace movement back then, I mean, that took years and years to get going. I mean, Chomsky says he couldn't get three people in a room to talk about it, you know, for years, even if he was giving away, you know, free bread and soup to the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, you know, for people who are in it every day, you know, it's maybe not moving fast enough, but considering the history, I think it's moving very fast.
Yeah, I agree.
And this is going to be a
and Americans are notoriously ADD.
Oh, yeah.
Pardon me?
Americans are ADD, she said.
Yeah.
Well, you know, is point taken.
Yeah, Here in Reno, it's at times it can be a little frustrating because we haven't gotten more than 20 overnighters. Of course, it's in the teens at night. It's so freaking cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then our marches are less than 50 people, you know, 25, 20, 20, 35, 50. We just had one on Saturday, and I feel kind of guilty for not going. Marched right down the middle of the street under the arch. You know, I don't know if you know that Reno has an arch downtown. It says biggest little city in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we call ourselves the biggest little occupation in the world. And so this is the first time that they actually broke any laws by physically walking in the streets rather than on the sidewalks. And
I find it interesting in Detroit that every time they've done that, in fact, even one time they were ordered to keep them off the street, and the police took it upon themselves to walk them and direct traffic away from them and walk them to their destination and choose not to engage them.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
This is promising to me that says, you know, the police are, and fire departments are part of, you know, the lower level unions are trying to bust, and they're getting it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting it. However, the jackbooted thugs, frightening.
Yeah, they are. And I don't think we have too many of those here. We're only a couple hundred thousand people between Sparks and Reno. And the city council has been very accommodating. You know, I may have said this before, but we asked for a 30-day permit for a piece of property to occupy. They gave us a 90-day, and they waived the fees, and they gave us a fire pit permit so we can
great.
Have fires at night.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, so we're... You know, we're not in the same position. On the other hand, we are 2 miles from downtown, a little bit out of sight, but it's a base camp, you know, and it's largely
right.
symbolic. And my thing is we need to make it through the wintertime. So, you know, I do what I can to support the people down there. I go down there quite often, usually 4, 5, 6 days a week. But I didn't go, I think, twice this week. I kind of blew it off. I was just a little bit overwhelmed, I guess. I needed to take some time off.
Yeah.
I have a small suggestion to make for Gwen and for you.
Sure.
And for Jack or anybody who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess Dusty is picked a 5 o'clock time slot on Fridays. I have 6 o'clock. Gwen, you sometimes take 7 o'clock. I was thinking about maybe if we could take, and perhaps one night a week, you could do it early, Pinko.
Sure.
If we could get enough break. To do a solid block from that 5 o'clock, or perhaps somebody wants to take 4 or 5 starting time, so 11 or 12, and do it right in a row, all about Occupy, all about, you know,
that's
leftist
fabulous.
Politics,
yeah.
That we could lock in a demographic
mm-hmm.
for ourselves. And then
that's
one,
a fabulous.
Know, and then we could, you know, I'd come on, I would list Golan Podcast, you know, when the prior ones, I give my hour and then say, go right here, and then we all follow each other
mm-hmm.
and back each other up. And that is, you know, people have stuff to do on Friday nights, but they can get it in podcasts. And the people who don't, because we're all poor and we don't go out, that
yeah.
gives them a block for their evening of
yeah.
actual interest.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them interaction, but which, by the way, just one moment, and David Williams is on with us, too, right now.
Hi, David.
Hey, David.
Hello, everyone.
I would like to announce right now that on Monday, pardon me, on Monday evenings, Herbie Monsters will be facilitating a show about wise women with Wise Women Media and Anita Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And on Wednesday, Manny Jalonski will be doing shows with, he's basically working for the Independent, and you'll find it on our show page, the write-ups. I'm constantly doing the Sunday show. I'm all in for it, Diane, putting together. Monday and Wednesday is kind of out for me because I've already scheduled the show.
I can only do Fridays. I mean, literally, with my life being what it is, working 2 jobs, I'm only in for the Fridays, so
ooh,
we can
yeah.
lock down a Friday block.
I can do Fridays.
I'll schedule a Friday, no problem.
The listeners don't want to hear all this. I just wanted to float the idea. We'll go to it in email, eh?
Sure,
okay.
Sounds good.
Friday.
Sounds good.
All righty, maybe we can, if it isn't me, maybe we'll get P.E., Tricia to stand in too on a Friday
for
with
David
it.
Or anybody.
Right. So we
yeah.
can call it. So I'll be up not so late with Pinko the Bear.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a little bit earlier. You could do yours later, but I mean,
okay.
if you could do yours a little earlier, that would rock.
Yeah, if I could do it, I can come in at 8 or come in at 10 or 9, whatever. We'll work it out.
Okay, good. Yeah,
cool.
I wanted while we're right in the middle of this, I'm gonna. Deviate for 1 second. I just want to pay a little note of interest to Dusty Taylor, who lost her mother this past week.
Right.
Very sad about that, and you know, she's a very she's one of us, definitely. She's very passionate and very headstrong in her beliefs, and she's very right on the money. So God bless you, Dusty. We're sorry that you experienced what you did, and we wish you the very, very best.
Thank you, Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you.
You bet.
Can I chime in one more thing about on Fridays? There may be another group that would like to join us. I think you might be familiar with the Authority Smashing Hour. My friend Derek Johnson and Charn Chiway, he's from Boston, the others from Tampa. They may be interested in doing a thing with us on Friday as well.
That's wonderful. Well, we'll have to get it together in the emails and just block it up. I'm willing to go on whatever slot.
Right on.
Awesome.
It'll be a great idea, and the more that we can put the drum line further, you know, extend the drum line further with other shows,
mm-hmm.
it'll be great, and we can fill up a whole evening of blocks. It will get conversations going, and I think we all have unique approaches to how we're actually talking about it and putting the information out there and asking people to get involved with us. So
was a great idea, a tremendous idea. It's networking at its finest.
Yeah, I was kind of happy the other day. One of my Facebook clan mates, I don't know who it was, put up a link to a Ustream channel, and it was called Occuthon. And it was a 24 hours of Occuphon. I watched about 6 hours and called
I
in.
I watched too, Nicole another young lady down here in Coral Springs. Yes.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a way to
what
get
was
the
it
message
a, what
out.
What was it called again?
It was called Occuthon. And
Occuthon. Okay, great.
Yeah, like marathon.
You're right.
And,
okay.
And when I tuned in, Tom Hartman's producer, Jacob, if you listen to Hartman, you often hear Tom say, well, Jacob, do we have that clip? And so Jacob was on the air then, and then there was another lady and another lady and another lady, and then I had to go, and I came back hours later, and it was still on. I think we should use what we've got to get the word out. And if we pimp it, not only on our Facebook pages, but we have to go to all the different groups we belong to. You know, even those groups that you don't often participate in, go to those groups and post it too to drive traffic over there.
Mm-hmm. Are you kidding?
And we all pimp each other. I had, and I'm going to give Gwen a compliment here. I had a listener who came through me through one of my interviews in the last 3 weeks, actually two of them, and you know I've interviewed some. You had two big names and one small name in the last 3 weeks, you know, and by my saying, check this out, they said they had listened to my shows and they'd listened to several of yours and found them intriguing and loved them.
Great.
So, you know, driving each other's traffic is good.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the big thing about it is, from my perspective and the whole reason for it and why I'm working hard to get aligned people to come on and take up some of the days of the week of my show is because I just want to get the conversation out there. The thing is that no matter how much, you know, you and I know, we've got someone articulate and adroit like David in Tulsa talking to people, but really, the conversation has to expand beyond what it's been because so many people just really don't know.
Right. Yeah, we got to let everybody know. The more the merrier, and we got to be relentless in spreading the word.
Yeah, go ahead, Gwen.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, so
in,
I run
in
into
marketing. Well, no, I found in marketing. I mean, my largest show had 9,000 listeners.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty
So I found in marketing, for one thing, I don't, for one, get the ads up early enough. After Christmas, I will. My first Christmas without my husband caught me some slack.
Yeah.
I'm not emotionally in a good spot.
Mm.
In marketing, you need to get it out a little bit early. You need to advertise. And being that I am a featured blogger, whatever, host on Blog Talk Radio, the more snazzy and obnoxious my title, the more listeners you get.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I
mean, really, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, are we entering a gulag state? Something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to pick a theme, and you just say, occupy, they're not going to, you have to pick something specific that's going to draw eyes and do that.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you.
Yeah, good point.
I hear you. You know, you might do just a bullet point blurb on that for us unmarketing, you know, non-marketing folk, and post it in messages or something on Facebook or email.
And you need to teach me how to do those email things you do.
Not all hard. Right. Hard. Oh, and I do have that facility. What's it called? Constant Contact. I have it for my business, but I use it also for the radio shows. So I can do that. Send out, the radio show lineup to do a blurb, and you get a thing that you post onto Facebook that any one of us can copy off there and keep posting all around Facebook and the other social networks.
Well, there's the thing is that we have to unify. Like anything else, we have to unify and promote each other.
Mm-hmm.
Quite true, yes. And we have to give Dusty a call and see if she would like to.
Oh, we've already been emailing. She's in. She's
okay.
Because I mean, her and I were the genesis of this whole idea.
Hey, can I ask Gwen? Gwen, you've got an Occupy movement in your town, right?
Yes.
So you have a website, right?
There's a website, yeah.
Right.
It's Occupy Palm Beach instead of Occupy Lake Worth, but yes, there's one here.
So let me ask you, do you have a WePay or a PayPal button on the website where people can donate? And if so,
they don't.
Okay, how are you getting funds? Because we're running into an issue here. The cash donations have stopped coming in, and we're not sure if the people have stopped giving, or if there's some people in the camp that are pocketing, you know, a 20 here and a 50 there.
It could realistically be the time of the year too. People are more cash strapped than normal because it is Christmas, you know.
Right.
So that might have something to do with it. I would suspect that might have something to do with it. But you know, you can't rule out dishonest people either. I mean, there are shysters out there in every crowd.
Yeah, we've got a few folks that are. That are less than reliable. They're really not part of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were talking about reaching out to, you know, all sorts, and I'm a little skeptical of doing that because if you're just basically homeless and you're like what they call river rats here,
sure.
They're kids. They're kind of juggalos. They follow the Insane Clown Posse. I don't know if you're familiar with this kind of culture, but there's some of this going on here, and these kids they're not interested in the movement. They're interested in free food and a sleeping bag and a tent.
And it's out of desperation, and you know it's unfortunate, but it's part of the program. You're right.
But so I'm of the mind that you know we shouldn't seek these people out because unless they're going to be actively working to keep the camp running and actively being involved, I mean, otherwise, you know, I'm not a big fan of reaching out to them because. Or say the homeless population in general, or anybody who's not interested in understanding the movement and working for the movement.
Right, that's a good point. You don't want a bunch of freeloaders.
Yeah, we don't have the resources.
No.
Right.
No. I'm sorry. I'm not down with that.
I got to tell you. I got to tell you, there's a lot of hurting going around this year that is being ignored, blatantly being ignored by the country's leadership and the media, which I find very heartbreaking. I'm not going into it, but that's just the reality. Here's the thing, Cinco. Listen, Bear, all you have to really do is achieve out of your General Assembly someone that's going to be treasurer or banker who has a setup, you know, for internet, and go to PayPal and get yourself an account.
I understand that, but here's the
cash grab. But you know, my point. When I argue with them is that I'm sorry. If you want to make a better society, sure, these people might not be down with your movement, or they may be drug addicts, alcoholics, whatever. Mm-hmm. In Detroit, when they brought and dumped the homeless, in New York, when they dumped and brought the homeless, we treated them better than the system did. We fed them.
Right.
Some of them we helped get off drugs. Some of them were so fucked hard. But you know what?
Yeah.
You can't go, oh, you ain't part of my movement. You're just you're a briar on the system.
Well,
you
I don't think he was trying to do that.
Walk the talk, walk the walk. I'm sorry.
So
they are lost or they're not.
So
because
let me
when you
we got
put
it.
Down
we got
the leash
it.
Of society, you're
it.
Fucking being the man.
Got it.
Yeah.
You got it 5 minutes ago. Let me explain. Occupy Wall Street has a fuck ton of money, up to $600,000 in resources. We have $800 in our till. We have $900 that have to be paid for insurance today. So we're broke, and we can't afford.
So if you're broke, then let's support people. Let's kick them out of our camp.
We can't afford.
Are you sure your last trap of that?
We're not,
brother.
We're not listening, sweetheart. You're not listening. We can't afford to do outreach to these people because we're trying to keep this little camp with 20 people going. We don't have the money. We don't have the resources. When they come to the camp on their own, nobody kicks them out unless they're drinking or unless they're drugging. You totally misunderstood me.
It is really, really difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't have the budget, and we have a small thing. And here's the other thing: the homeless population is not coming to us because all of their I don't want to say amenities, all of their support system is downtown. That's 2 miles away, and they're not going to walk 2 miles to come out to where we are. So that's really not a problem. It's not a problem. What I'm saying is we don't do an outreach to them and say, hey, come join us. Because we don't have $10,000 or $5,000 or $50,000 in an account for us. We have we're negative as of today.
You'll get all you have to do, though.
The reason I ask about the PayPal is I was wondering how it was decided. Did you have to do a 401c3 or whatever they call it, 501? Did you have, or is it just somebody's personal bank account with there's two or three people that
it began
can sign for?
It began with somebody's personal, you know, okay, let's get this started. And within a month, it became an entity.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Because they've been dicking around here for I don't know how long, and I don't have access to the passwords to do this on the website myself, but I can't get the people that are doing that are running the website to get off the pot and actually get this done. In the meantime, we're going broke.
Difficult.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll drop that. I just thought I'd ask if you had that one and how you went through the process.
I want to once again, and I'm getting an echo chamber. I want to thank you guys for joining in and bringing this up. and putting it out there for people to hear tonight. But we get this going. Great idea, Diane.
Excellent idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
On Friday night, putting it out.
I'm catching all kinds of feedback now.
I know.
You said echo chamber, and you sound like one.
It's
okay,
clear.
Well, that's the moment of decision. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. And I want to thank Pinko the Bear, Diane G. from the Wild Wild Left, Jack Bell, all of the people. And I'm going to play off with something I want everyone to hear. We will be back on New Year's Day on Sunday, and maybe before that on a Friday night. Please keep your eyes peeled in the social networks for the information from Pinko, Wild Wild Left, Here Be Monsters, and the other shows that will align with us. Correct, folks?
Sounds good to me.
Amen.
Hey. Okay. Well, if I don't speak with y'all, do something really nice next weekend for yourselves, like enjoy a little bit of that Jim Beam Red Stag. Anyways, have a great deal of fun with Jake.
Love to you all.
Back at you. I'm going to play us off with a really wonderful piece here. I'm looking for it. It's called Occupy Love. I hope it gets out clearly, and folks will listen to it. There we go. And this has been Here Be Monsters. We're here with you. This is the Sunday show. We look for our scheduling. Please. In the next couple of weeks, and we're coming into a huge new year. Pinko, Diane, ta for the moment.
Ta-ta.
This movement isn't about the 99% defeating or toppling the 1%. You know, the next chapter of that story, which is that the 99% create a new 1%. That's not what it's about. What we want to create is the more beautiful world our hearts tell us is possible, a sacred world, a world that works for everybody, a world that is healing, a world of peace. You can't just say, we demand a world of peace. Demands have to be specific. Anything that people can articulate can only be articulated within the language of the current political discourse. And that entire political discourse is already too small. And that's why making explicit demands kind of reduces the movement and takes the heart out of it. And so it's a real paradox. And so I think that the movement actually understands that. The system isn't working for the 1% either. You know, if you were a CEO, you would be making the same choices they do. The institutions have their own logic. Life is pretty bleak at the top, too. And all of the baubles of the rich, they're kind of this phony compensation for the loss of what's really important. The loss of community, the loss of connection, the loss of intimacy, the loss of meaning. Everybody wants to live a life of meaning. And today, we live in a money economy where we don't really depend on the gifts of anybody, but we buy everything. Therefore, we don't really need anybody, because whoever grew my food or made my clothes or built my house, well, if they died or if I alienate them, if they don't like me, that's okay. I can just pay somebody else to do it. And it's really hard to create community if the underlying knowledge is we don't need each other. So people kind of get together and they act nice, or maybe they consume together. But joint consumption doesn't create intimacy. Only joint creativity and gifts create intimacy and connection. You have such gifts that are important. Just like every species has an important gift to give to an ecosystem, and the extinction of any species hurts everybody. The same is true of each person. that you have a necessary and important gift to give. And that for a long time, our minds have told us that maybe we're imagining things, that it's crazy to live according to what you want to give. But I think now, as more and more people wake up to the truth that we're here to give, and wake up to that desire, and wake up to the fact that the other way isn't working anyway, the more reinforcement we have from people around us that this isn't crazy. This makes sense. This is how to live. And as we get that reinforcement, then our minds and our logic no longer have to fight against the logic of the heart, which wants us to be of service. This shift of consciousness that inspires such things is universal in everybody, 99% and 1%. And it's awakening in different people in different ways. I think love is the felt experience of connection to another being. An economist says that essentially more for you is less for me. But the lover knows that more for you is more for me too. If you love somebody, then their happiness is your happiness. Their pain is your pain. Your sense of self expands to include other beings. That's love. Love is the expansion of the self to include the other. And that's a different kind of revolution. There's no one to fight. There's no evil to fight. There's no other in this revolution. Everybody has a unique calling. And it's really time to listen to that. That's what the future is going to be. It's time to get ready for it and to help contribute to it and make it happen.
And I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. This is Here Be Monsters. We will be back with you on New Year's Day, man. New Year's Day of 2012. So take care of yourselves. Peace on earth. Goodwill to all occupiers. And thank you, my friends, for being with us tonight. A gentle good evening to you. Okie doke. Ta-ta.